Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of the Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. And greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, February 26, 2009. Our AccuWindow forecast says rain in western Idaho. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight. Cosmic coincidence? What are the odds? On Tuesday morning, February 24th, Saturn and Comet Lulin will converge in the constellation Leo, only 2 degrees apart. At the same time, Comet Lulin will be making its closest approach to Earth. That's 38 million miles away. The Sun is 93 million miles away, while four of Saturn's moons ring the planet. Should be a very neat, almost visible with the naked eye. Depends on where you are. If you get a nice dark sky, you should be able to see it. The solar wind tonight is 441 kilometers per second. Watch out. Aurora Borealis, high likelihood. And how bright will Comet Lulin become? No one knows for sure, although it is notoriously difficult to accurately predict the brightest of a newly discovered comet. Comet Lulin could well become visible to the naked eye later this month. I'm probably thinking about the 23rd, 24th, maybe 25th. If you get a nice cloudless night, you should be able to see it where you live. As Comet Lulin moves into the northern sky in mid-February, it'll rise around midnight, so that would be the time to get out and look at it. Also wanted to let you know, tonight we have two guests. We have Ariel Ford coming on the program. She is the author of The Secret to a Soulmate. Hang on one moment, just one moment. I know what I did. I took the book with me to read, and I don't have the book in front of me, so I apologize for that. But we're going to be talking about the law of attraction and how you can work that to find your soulmate. One of the most important things that you can do, the book Soulmate Secret, manifests the love of your life with the law of attraction. Now, she's only going to be on for 30 minutes tonight. We'll make that announcement a couple more times this evening as the network loads up. And then we have at 6:30 tonight, in the second hour coming on, we have Glynis Hannon, who is a spokesman for Skies Above Cashiers. And we're going to find out what's been going on over the skies of Carolina. Something has been going on. Lots of UFOs. They have a website, skiesabovecashierscup.com, and we want you to check that out while you can. Lots of activities going on. During this first half hour, while we're waiting to make contact with Ariel Ford, which we will do at the bottom of the hour, we are going to talk about a little bit about the law of attraction. Now, you know, in the third book we write about this, The Ark of Millions of Years, Unlocking the Secret. What a lot of people pass up is the fact that the law of attraction has a very strong mathematical background to it. Now, you might have been exposed to this a little bit with the book The Secret. It was, to be sure, one of the most successful marketing campaigns ever in this genre of self-help / law of attraction. And I'm sure you've heard the buzzwords. It's kind of hard to turn daytime TV on these days and not hear it. But you don't really hear the mathematical, scientific physics background of what the law of attraction is, what it means, how it can function in your life. And if you don't have a copy of Volume 3 of The Ark of Millions of Years, we encourage you to pick up your copy. Now, there are several ways that you can get it. Of course, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore and buy the book. That's not a problem. We appreciate those buyers as well as anyone else. Or you can go to arcofmillionsofyears.com. That's Ark like Noah's Ark. And you can click on the appropriate button for where you live on the planet Earth. Postage is adjusted for each one of those locations. And when you buy the book there, you get two bonuses. One, you get the book autographed personally to you. And you also get the audio version of Volumes 1 and 2. So if you pick up Volume 3, or if you pick up Volumes 1 and 2 and 3 as a trilogy, you get a break on the price and the shipping if you do that, but you also get Volumes 1 and 2 in audio form, the complete book, not excerpts. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you. You get the whole 45 hours of audio as a download, and you can put it on your MP3 device, you can put it on a CD, you can put it on your laptop and listen to it. If you really want to, you can stream it from the website, although we don't recommend that. Can be a little choppy, depends on how many people are downloading at the time. We download about a terabyte a month from that website, so you might want to go ahead and save as on your MP3 device and listen to it at your leisure. It's a nonfiction book. Some of it is a good story. All of it is great information. The reason I ask you to get a hold of the book is because we go through this law of attraction in great detail, and we approach it from a scientific point of view and a mathematical point of view. And before we have Ariel Ford on the program, and by the way, she's the author of The Soulmate Secret, and I can tell you that she has sold, over 25 years, she's sold over 12 million books. So there are a lot of people out there that know Ariel Ford and know how she understands personal relationships. She has 7 books out there, including Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Soul, The Soulmate Secret, and others. She is one of the founding partners of the Spiritual Cinema Circle, a DVD club dedicated to providing movies about love and compassion. And it's one of those kind of things that is easy to read, extremely easy to read, and lots of helpful advice. And the reason that we're having her on this program, not that we're one of those self-help radio programs that talks about, you know, romance and Danielle Steele kind of stuff, but we are concerned with the well-being of our listeners. And one of the things that helps the well-being of our listeners is to find the person for whom they are a perfect match. As Ariel says, every pot has a lid. And so no matter how quirky you think you are, there's someone out there for you. And one of the things that happens to you after high school, or especially after college, is your exposure to those, shall we say, rodeos where the horses can be found, begins to narrow. You meet them at work, you meet them at church, you meet them at the gym, and your arena of potential candidates gets smaller and smaller as you get older and older. Especially if you've had a relationship when you're young and that relationship doesn't play out or it doesn't work out, and then you find yourself a young professional without the resources to find that special someone that sort of puts up with where you lay your socks in the evening. And there is a romantic side to it, to be sure, but there's also a mathematical side, and that's what I want to cover for about 20 minutes as our network is now loading up with listeners from all over the world, and they're coming in to listen to X Squared Radio. We're glad that you're here, that you're tuning into X Squared Radio, and you're about to get squared. So, here we go. In the early 19th century, there was a physician, a doctor, a surgeon, whose name was Thomas Young, and he became fascinated with the human eye. You know, the optics, the iris, the lens, the how the eye worked. And he became fascinated with the focal length of various wavelengths of light, and he began to devise experiments to test how light interacted with itself. And in one experiment, he decided, just as a quirk, I guess, to design an experiment that was called the dual slit experiment. He had a single light source, and the light source shined upon a black barrier that had two small slits in it. And behind the two slits was a screen. And what would happen is the light source, be it a single light bulb or a candle, would shine on the two slits, and on the screen behind the two slits would be an interference pattern. Now, I'll describe that a little bit to you. If you buy the book, Volume 3 of The Arc of Millions of Years, you'll see a nice color rendition of what this interference pattern looks like. But it's a series like teeth of a comb, light and dark stripes. And what he noticed was that the dark areas were quite dark indeed, almost without light. But the light spots were much brighter than the light that was going through the slits themselves. And he devised a theory that the light was actually going through the slits in the form of waves, that they like dropping two rocks in a clear waveless pond, say 10 feet apart. Now, you know, when you drop the two pebbles in, you're going to get concentric rings that go out from both stones. As they get larger and larger, they meet somewhere out in the middle of the pond, and they begin interfering with one another. That's what we call an interference pattern. So where the waves would meet peak to peak, they would add to one another, hence making a bright spot twice as bright as the original light source. Where they met peak to trough in the sinusoidal wave pattern, they canceled each other out, and you got the dark line. And what he realized is what he called constructive interference. This is where the two waves add to one another. And destructive interference. This is where they interfere with one another and destroy each other. Now, as it turns out, light is going along wonderfully behaving these laws of wave function. these photons of light as they come from the light source, be it a star way out in space, our sun around which we orbit, or an artificial light source like a light bulb or a candle or even a laser. Obeying the wave pattern is easy to predict. The interference pattern is easy to watch. Now, if you cover one of the slits with your finger, well, then you only get a single stripe. You let both slits receive light, and you get the interference pattern. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Turns out, we have special detectors that can pick up the photons coming through the slit, or before it gets to the slit. And we can measure the spin on that photon, that particle. And as soon as we determine whether the spin is plus one-half or minus one-half, guess what? The interference pattern disappears. Everything goes to particles, and all you get are two stripes of light, the same intensity as the original light source. Well, a little confusing, to say the least, but very predictable. Any high school optics lab, any freshman college optics lab can build this experiment and demonstrate this over and over again. But it gets more and more interesting because the questions begin to be asked, wait a minute, all he is measuring the spin. Why is the wave collapsing to particle? Why doesn't it go back to wave after it comes out of the detector? We call this the observation effect. We are actually having an effect on the universe. We're actually affecting the universe. We're collapsing a wave function into a particle function. It gets more interesting. They took the experiment one step further, and you remember the screen behind the double slits? They replaced it with a mirror, a special mirror. The mirror is only half-coated, meaning half the photons strike the mirror and continue on in wave shape and make the interference pattern on a screen that's reflected from the mirror, and half the photons go through the mirror into the photon detector, detecting the spin. Now, I think you understand what's going to happen is going to be quite shocking to the observer of this experiment. As soon as the wave or the particle detector is on, checking for the spin of the particles, the interference pattern of the reflected photons drops the particles. The only thing you see are the two stripes reflected. The interference pattern goes away. Well, just a minute here. We're not measuring the photons that are reflecting off of the mirror and hitting the screen. We're only measuring the photons going through the mirror. And yet, the reflected photons collapse to particle function. Also very repeatable, also very unexplainable. Now, what does this have to do with the law of attraction? I'm going to add the second aspect to this, and that is a theory that Tesla personified, and that is the principle of resonance. Resonance. This is where sound or light, or in our study tonight, intention, can constructively or destructively work with the universe around us. Those of you that saw the movie What the Bleep know what I'm talking about. You've seen this. When your intention goes out in the universe, be it anger or love, or be it a desire for wealth, or in most people's cases, an allergy to wealth, when it bounces out into the universe, it has its effect. Everything that will resonate with that, like little tinkling strings and panes of glass and tympanic membranes, vibrates to that frequency perfectly. It harmonizes exactly with that output. So if you output negative, you output hatred, you output fear, you output disappointment, or you will for yourself failure, that's exactly what resonates with the universe and exactly what comes back to you sympathetically. However, if you send out positive, if you send out process waves like, I want to do this, I want to be this, not necessarily I want a new motorcycle or I want $1 million or I want to win the lottery, although that works too, those goals are empty and without reward. If you send out the right kind of intention, the right kind of energy, It will resonate with the universe and bring back those energies which, if added upon by more energy from you at exactly the right moment, then you get constructive interference. Things begin to work in your favor. You've seen those basketball players. They have an on night, and everything they throw up in the air goes right through the hoop, and they score 56 points. New records right and left. Maybe the game is won, maybe it's not, but personally they have an amazing game. And if everybody's on, although that can be mutually exclusive, well, then you have the NBA playoffs and the championship. The same thing in football. When a team is on, when a quarterback is on, he can almost do no wrong. That is what we're talking about. That being in the zone, that spot in your life when you put out energy and you get back what you are looking for. Does it happen the first time out? Probably not. No more than the waves going through those slits will make an interference pattern without themselves. They need the resonating waves coming from the other slit. And by the way, this works if you have 2 slits, 3 slits, 5 slits, or 16 slits. The interference patterns do form, albeit more complex because now you have more sources of waves. The interference patterns continue to work. Interferometers are very precise instruments that physicists and engineers use in a variety of ways. One is to measure distance between two areas precisely, down to fractions of a wavelength of light. The other is to measure vibration. If they're reflecting off of a surface that happens to be vibrating, then they're going to get an interference pattern back into the detector, which is proportional to the vibration that they're getting. These are important things to know, and I know that X-Squared Radio listeners are much more scientifically adept than the average listener, and you appreciate this extra detail because you want to know the scientific and physical support for the law of attraction. It is not as simple as finding a picture of something that you want, selecting the appropriate refrigerator magnet, and fixing it to the door in the kitchen where you happen to walk by it often and say, "Man, I really want that Ferrari. I really want that Harley Davidson." And although that intention does work with the universe, it doesn't resonate much unless you do something about it. Just wishing it is not quite enough energy to make it happen. Not always, although sometimes you do end up with the Harley Davidson. And I don't mean a Harley Davidson. I mean the Harley Davidson in the picture. Whatever it is, you will. Whatever it is, you create. Remember, you are source. You have the power. And do create your own life existence, your own life condition, whatever it is. Illness, success, loneliness, or lifetime union. And I have to tell you, lifetime union isn't always joy and happiness. Sometimes it's challenge, and sometimes it's separation. And sometimes it is common goals. And all of those things are part of the growth, part of the manifestation. It gets more and more complex as more and more inputs from both parties in the relationship. Just like the two waves coming through the slits, they interfere with one another, sometimes constructively, sometimes destructively. And I guess the thing to do is to keep moving toward the light. Keep moving toward the light. Don't manifest for yourself negativity. In about 6 minutes, we're going to have Ariel Ford on the program. She is the author of The Soulmate Secret, Manifest of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. Now you know the science behind the Law of Attraction. And what I want you to do as we open up the phone lines here, and Ariel comes on the program. She's planning on being on the program only 30 minutes. She doesn't know X Squared Radio very well yet. And she doesn't know our callers, how great of questions that you can ask, and how much thought and forethought you put into your inquisitions. So write your question down And be sure to call in. You know the call-in numbers. They are posted at xsquaredradio.com. They're also posted at bbsradio.com. We are part of the BBS Radio Network and also rebroadcasted through the Steel Eye Radio Network, courtesy of our friend Kevin Smith. BBS Radio is the largest internet radio network in the free world and quickly growing. If you have it in mind that you have what it takes to be a talk radio host, you have an idea for a program, make sure to get a hold of folks down at BBS Radio, and they'll be happy to set you up, see if you have what it takes to be behind the microphone. I didn't start out here. Started out as an engineer and accidentally made my way here. Been here since 2005 because of you, the listener. That's why we are here. So please go to xsquaredradio.com often and patronize our affiliates. We have two new affiliates, college textbooks, textbookrental.com. Click on that if you have a college student and you're tired of paying $600, $800, $1,000 a semester for textbooks. Now, just like DVDs, textbooks can be rented. I, for one, really appreciate that. A significant amount of my non-disposable income goes to educating my children. So make your way there. Click on the banner. Find out about it. See if they have your textbook for rent. Could save you a lot of money and help them launch one of the most innovative textbook rental companies I have ever seen. And those of you who find themselves underemployed or unemployed at the moment, you have skills. You might as well put them on a business card. We now have Vista Prints as one of our affiliates, so please click on the Vista Prints banner at xsquaredradio.com. Guess what? Free business cards. That's right. That's right. If you have an idea, you have a business, you want to get it out there, you want to make yourself known, you want to make your mark, get a business card and hand it out free. Vistaprints.com. Over 148 different styles that you can select from. 100 business cards could go a long way to getting a job, getting your business started, and if you really like it, you can up the ante and increase the quality of your card and get some more of them out there and even make a bigger impact. Vista Prints at X Squared Radio. Our phone lines will be open the entire 3 hours of X Squared Radio tonight, and this is a 3-hour program. If you're not getting all 3 hours where you live, please send us an email or get a hold of us at bbsradio.com and let us know, because we'll take care of the rest. Just give us the call letters of that radio station that's not playing all 3 hours, and we'll handle that, because you deserve to get all the information that you can. At X Squared Radio, we have a little bit different format here. We do commercials at the top of the hour, so you can listen an entire 55 minutes with the guest normally. Tonight, our guest intends on coming on 30 minutes, and that's just fine with us. Hopefully, maybe she'll be inspired and stay through the hour, and we'll talk to Ariel Ford, author of The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, a little bit more in about 4 minutes. Also, in about an hour, we have Glynis Hennin coming on with us, and going to discuss skies above cashiers. Something has been going on, unidentified, but so many people have seen flying craft above cashiers that we will bring them on. All right, Ariel's on the line with us now. Ariel Ford, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you, Brooks?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm so pleased to have you on the program tonight.
Thank you. Where's Cashiers?
Cashiers is in the Carolinas. Evidently, something's been going on over the skies over there, and we're going to find out what when we interview them tonight.
Wow, sounds fascinating.
Oh, it's always fascinating at X Squared Radio. I mean, we interview 55 guests a year, and it's just amazing the stuff that they bring, the research in molecular biology and astronomy and ufology. It's just very cutting edge here. Never know what we're going to get into. So how are you this evening?
I'm good. I just got back from vacation yesterday, so I'm a little ditzy, but other than that, I'm great.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Just got done driving 10 hours back from upper Washington State. So we work until we die. That's what we do here.
We were sailing down in the British Virgin Islands, and you know, I haven't quite got my land legs back yet, but we had a really great time. Highly good way to spend Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. It sounds like Valentine's week. Where did you go?
We started in Tortola, and then we went to Virgin Gorda and to a couple places there, and the tiny little island called Anagata that had a beach called Flash of Beauty Beach that was magnificent, and a few other spots, and got tanned, rested, drank some good wine. It's fantastic.
Wow. Nothing like having a name of a place that says what you do.
I know. Can you imagine Flash of Beauty? What a name for a beach. Unbelievable.
You would just have to stop and behold it for a while. So
yeah. I think I put some video up on my Facebook page a little while ago if I was awake enough to do that. I was attempting to anyway.
Well, the Internet is so amazing, the things that that we can get up so that people can see it almost real time. It's just phenomenal how this media in the last 10 years has really changed the way we communicate with each other. In a way, it's opened our horizons, and in another way, it's closed them down. Because one of the things that I find all the time is I find technical professionals who have not found the love of their life yet. And they think they can find them on the Internet sometime, and maybe sometimes that's a good place to go. But you have written an amazing book, and besides being an incredibly easy read, it's just one of those books that reads so well that you just hardly can't put it down. So many personal stories in it, so many inspirational things. There's a function to it. There's this function called the law of attraction. How does it work with personal relationships?
Well, it's actually the same way it works with everything else. So the law of attraction states that you attract to you the people, places, and experiences that match your state of being. So if your state of being is life is great, things come easily to me, everything's good, you're going to get more of that. And if your state of being is, you know, fear-based and the sky is falling and nobody loves me, well, then you get to have more of that too. So in The Soulmate Secret, what I did was just share my personal experience of how I used various manifestation tools and techniques 11 years ago to manifest my soulmate and husband, Brian. I actually never intended to write a book about it. It was just what I did. But over the years, every single woman that I ever met would pull me aside and say, "How do I get a Brian?" And I would spend hours explaining all this stuff that I did, and finally it just made sense to put it in a book. And, you know, I'm happy to report that I've got a ton of readers that are emailing me now telling me it's working for them, too. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Well, that really sounds exciting. But, you know, I hear the law of attraction being something like, okay, I find a motorcycle that I want in the magazine, I cut it out, I find my favorite refrigerator magnet, and I stick it on the door, and before too long, I have the motorcycle. How does it work with people? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you exactly how it works. So the piece that you left out about the descriptive piece, and this is what the movie The Secret left out, was you find the picture of the motorcycle that you want, you cut out the picture, you put it on the refrigerator, but you also spend time every day sitting quietly with your eyes closed, remembering a time when you felt everything was going your way and you felt excitement and anything could be yours, and then you feel yourself riding the very motorcycle that you want, and you see in this feelingization, if you will, that you're actually experiencing riding the motorcycle you already own. that's the magic piece to all of it. You have to embrace and embody and experience that which you desire as if it's already yours because it already is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Help me understand that word a little bit better, the feelingization. How does that work?
Oh, it's a word that I made up because people have heard the term visualization, which was what you described. You see it, you look at it, and then you think it's yours. But it doesn't become yours without the emotion, without the feeling. So I just slightly put a twist on what I call it, a feelingization. So the process for manifesting a soulmate is quite simple. First, you make a very detailed list of the traits and qualities you'd like this person to have, and also the type of lifestyle you'd like. And people often leave that part out. So you might be able to manifest the, you know, kind, loving, generous traits that you have, but if you've left out the lifestyle, you're not going to get what you really want. Because let's say you're somebody who's very athletic and you like to train for marathons or triathlons. You want somebody who's active as well. By the same token, if you're a couch potato, the last thing you want is somebody who spends all their time outdoors riding, biking, and hiking. So it's really important to have this detailed list so you have clarity about the kind of relationship you're going to pull into you. And then you can have the treasure map or the vision board, which is, you know, you can put it up with a magnet on your refrigerator. Or what I like to do is go through lots of magazines and clip out pictures and images and words that are reflective of the future that I'm creating. And I glue stick them onto a piece of poster board, and then I put them somewhere where I can look at it every day. I've been doing this for 15 years now. It totally works.
So the traits of the person aren't just, they aren't just verbal things. You can actually, you know, cut out pictures and situations and, you know, even aspects that are more poetic, more esoteric about the relationship that you want to have, the person that you're looking for, and sort of put it together as a total picture.
Exactly. So I have actually three treasure maps up on my walls in my office right now. So on there are pictures of exotic locations. I like to travel. So travel was a big part of my list. I wanted somebody who would travel with me. So I had pictures of India and Bora Bora and sailing in the Caribbean, which we just did. And I also am very much interested in spirituality. So I had Hindu icons and Buddhas and temples and various places on my vision board so that I would bring in somebody who matched my interests, you know, so I'd get the entire package, which is what I call big love. So there's lots of ways to do it, and it helps if you believe that you're worthy of that kind of relationship, because if you're doing these things and the inner chatter is, I'm not lovable, nobody loves me, it's going to take a whole lot longer as opposed to learning how to fall in love with yourself.
Well, it seems like that might be one of the challenges. Most of the people that I know who don't have a good relationship, or they've been through a lot of unsatisfying relationships, probably have the hardest time with that first part, is loving themselves.
Right.
Figuring out, you know, who it is that they love inside of them.
Right. So in the Soulmate Secret, we start with forgiveness. Forgiving yourself and forgiving those who have hurt you in the past, because you really want to start from a clean slate. And I also, along the way, give you all kinds of tips on really how to find the lovable parts of you so you can fall in love with yourself. And it can be, I was talking to Dr. Christiane Northrup the other day about this, and she said to me, well, every time I walk past a mirror, I blow myself a kiss. And isn't that sweet? I mean, that's something that you can do every day. Blow yourself a kiss. If you're not going to love you, then who is going to love you? And yes, we've all been dumped and we've all been wounded and it's difficult, but that's not a good enough reason to give up. You know, every year, many of us set goals at the beginning of the year. We set goals for our work, our career, money, fitness, health. All I'm really saying in the Soulmate Secret is set some goals for yourself in the area of love, because it works the same way. It's about getting clarity, setting an intention, putting attention on top of that, and then starting to listen to your inner wisdom that may say to you, well, maybe I should go on to online to eharmony.com or chemistry.com or match.com or any of those places, and maybe I'll find the one there. I have 5 friends who have gotten married because they did some of these manifestation techniques, and then they went online. And one of those people is my 80-year-old mother-in-law. Incredible story. She was married for 55 years. She was then a widow for 5 years. And at the age of 80, she called us up and she said, "I'm ready for another relationship." And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, my God, you're 80. What are you talking about?" And she said, "You talk about this all the time. Tell me what to do." So we sat down and we talked to her about having a clear intention and went through all the various steps. 3 weeks later, she calls us up. "I have a date." "You do? You have a date?" And she said, "Yeah, you know my friend, I don't remember her friend's name, so-and-so, that she's 55, she's a realtor. Well, she came over a couple weeks ago, and she taught me how to get online, and we went to Match.com, and there were 3 guys in my age group, the 80-plus age group, and one of them is a widower, and he was a lawyer, like my dead husband, and I emailed him, and we are going out to the movies tonight. And they are now madly in love, they're living together in an assisted living facility. They couldn't be happier. And he wants to marry her. And she said, "You know, I've been there, done that. I'm just going to shack up with him." she's now 82. He's 85. And they're crazy about each other.
You know, I'm reminded of a story. The woman that prayed every day to win the lottery. And finally, after several years, God comes to her and says, "Lady, give me a break, okay? Buy a ticket."
Right. That's it. It's so, you know, it's not like you do some of these things and you sit back and you wait for a knock at the door. However, I will tell you one story about my friend Peggy McCall from Canada. She was a single mom working from home, living in the suburbs, knew about all these techniques, but also didn't get out very much. So part of her list said that her soulmate would find her. And she did all these different things, just trusting and knowing he would find her. One morning at 8 a.m., there's a knock on the door. She answers the door. There's this tall, handsome guy standing there who says, "Hi, my name is Dennis. I just moved into the neighborhood. My dog sitter hasn't shown up. I have to go to work. Could you please watch my dog?" They have now been together, happily married for 7 years.
That is amazing. And she was manifesting that someone would come into her life. And so here comes this.
And that he would find her. Because in her situation, she didn't get out very much. Now, does that happen every day? No. But I had another friend, Sean, the 38-year-old CEO of a software company. I asked him one day, I said, "You know, what's happening in your love life?" And he said, "Oh, none of the women I meet will put up with me because I travel 90% of the time." And I handed him the manuscript to my book, and he rolled his eyes and was like, "Oh, Ariel, not more of your mumbo-jumbo." And I was like, "Listen, Sean, just read it. Do one exercise. I dare you." 3 weeks later, he calls me up. He said, "Well, I liked your idea about the vision board treasure map thing, so I made one." He goes, "But, you know, I travel all the time. So I took pictures of my treasure map and made it the wallpaper on my cell phone so I could look at it a couple times a day." And I had the craziest thing happen. I was flying home from Australia, was on this long flight. There was a ruckus in the aisle. I stood up to defend the flight attendant. And guess what? We're dating now. Her name's Pia. So, long story short, they just got engaged the day after Christmas. You know,
now
so
that,
it does work. Yeah.
So you talk about attention and intention. And I hear these words a lot. They're kind of buzzwords and they're bantied about, and you know, people have different cult meanings for them. In the field of finding the right person, how do we apply intention and attention? I mean, you don't want to draw attention to yourself, but
I mean, your intention is you want to be very clear with yourself. You know, I am ready for a deep, loving, meaningful, long-lasting, monogamous relationship or marriage, whatever it is that you want. So you have this intention. And then you get more specific about the kind of relationship you want and the kind of person you want to have it with. And then the attention comes in terms of listening to yourself. So let's say you come home from work. You've just been driving 10 hours, right? You're not on the radio. You get home. You're exhausted. But somebody calls and says, you know what, I've just decided to have an Oscar-watching party tonight. You know, the Oscars are on tonight. And why don't you come over? And a part of you is saying, maybe I should go. And a part of you wants to go. And the other part's saying, I'm exhausted. I just drove 10 hours. But your attention is saying, you know what, I'm going to go. And you meet the love of your life there. I've had three people tell me stories like that where they were invited at the last minute. They didn't want to go, but something inside of them pushed them out the door. And that was the day they met the one.
So this is a little bit like listening to the universe send you back the resonance from the intention that you sent out. Okay, you wanted this, and it's not coming in exactly the form that you thought it was going to be, but we want you to listen. So here's the lifeboat. Jump in.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You can do this.
In the book, you talk about living as if. You know, when we're young, we try to figure out how we're going to be, how we're going to behave. And we go through all kinds of trial and error, be it numerous jobs or numerous relationships. We learn how to relate to people with whom we work or with whom we have romantic relationships. But later in life, and I assume that is the audience that we're speaking to, at least at X Squared Radio, our profile listener is between 22 and, 102. Many of them have been there, done that. They've tried, you know, they've tried meeting people in the bar or church or work or whatever, and it hasn't really worked out for them. They've kind of taken what they could get. What does it mean to live as if?
Well, so you might know it by the term fake it till you make it. So if you're living as if, I'll give you an example. There was a woman in L.A. who really enjoyed cooking, and every night she would cook dinner for herself. And then when she got serious about wanting to manifest a soulmate, she would start cooking a dinner for two every night. She would set a beautiful table for two. She would light candles. She would play music. And she would sit there knowing that her soulmate would someday share the table with her. And within 3 months, he was there. Now, for people who aren't into waste, the other meal that she didn't eat, she had for lunch the next day. But that's living as if. It's trusting. If I said to you, Brooks, I promise you with 100% certainty, someday in the next 45 days, your soulmate is going to arrive, wouldn't that change the way you're relating to the world? Wouldn't you wake up happier? Wouldn't you probably clean your house, get rid of the clutter, lose the pictures of the exes? I mean, you would alter how you're being. You'd probably be friendlier, more loving to the people around you because you'd be living as if. So with living as if, I'm asking you to trust that what you're asking for, to have your soulmate arrive, is a guaranteed sure thing, and you're showing the universe that you believe it because you're making plans for it. So this would look like making room in the closet, clearing space, emptying out a drawer, making sure the nightstand on their side of the bed is totally empty, buying some really sweet greeting cards that you're going to give them someday, or buying tickets to a concert or a play coming up sometime this summer that you'll take them to. That's what I mean by living as if.
Well, that's a little bit like praying for rain and carrying an umbrella with you.
Yes, you know, I don't know if you've interviewed Greg Braden, but he's got this fabulous story about being with a Native American elder, and there's a long-time drought going on, and the elder says to him, would you like to see my process while I go out to the desert to make rain? And Greg says, yes, of course, and they go out to the desert, and the guy takes his shoes off, and he walks about 10 paces, and he stands there for maybe 2 minutes, and then he comes back and he says, let's go get something to eat. And Greg says to him, but what did you do? He said, oh, I stood there imagining what the ground beneath me felt like when it was damp and moist and drenched from the rains. And I gave a prayer of thanks and gratitude. And they went out to eat, and a half hour later it poured.
So this is a little bit like visualizing the finished event. Like you're putting yourself in the future and already giving gratitude for that thing having happened.
That's precisely what it is. You're being in a place of gratitude, giving thanks for what is already yours, feeling inside of your body and every cell of your body that you're embodying this, that this is yours, you're grateful for it. The best example I have is I just got done telling you I just got back from vacation. What I didn't tell you was how I got to this vacation. So 2 weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk sort of pining away for a Caribbean vacation. I was just like so wanting to go away, and I looked at my schedule. I've done something like 62 radio interviews in the last 6 weeks for my book. And then I was looking at my bank balance, and the conversation in my head was, you don't have any time, you don't have enough money. But then I decided to take my own advice, and I sat down in my chair for 3 minutes, and I closed my eyes, and I imagined what my body would feel like swimming in the warm Caribbean water. And I imagined what I would feel like lying in the sun all relaxed and feeling the soft Caribbean breezes and smelling the salty air. And I just spent 3 minutes in the full experience that here I was in the Caribbean. And then I forgot about it. 3 days later, the phone rings, and I always answer it, hi, this is Ariel. And this woman says to me, is Greg there? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, there's no Greg here. And there's dead silence for a second, and she said, Ariel Ford? And I said, yes, who's this? She said, it's me, Gail Goodwin, somebody I met twice and hadn't talked to in a long time. So we started talking. How are you? What are you doing? Catching up. And then she said, well, we're getting ready to leave. We're about to go down to my sailboat in Tortola to do 2 weeks of sailing in the Caribbean. I said, wow, that sounds great. That's my dream vacation. And she said, well, why don't you join us? On the second week, we have a free cabin. Just fly down and join us. So guess what I said? I'll be there.
Yeah.
And I got back last night from a Caribbean vacation, which I totally manifested, but I could have never predicted how it would come about. It came about because of a wrong number, and here I am with my tan, all relaxed.
Now, you mentioned another key element in the law of attraction, and that is the release. You manifested it, and you thought about it. What does the water feel like? What does the sun feel like? I can almost smell the sea air now. And then you released it. Now, what does that feel like? How do people say, all right, I've concentrated on this for 15 minutes. I've got the candles lit. I'm going to release now. What does that do?
Well, it's about not obsessing. There was a part of me that already had the experience. I was already there. It was already mine. And then I dropped it. I just let it go. You know, are you holding a pen or a pencil in your hand? Pick up a pen or a pencil.
Okay, and put your hand
palm down towards the floor. And you're holding the pencil, right? And put your arm straight out.
Okay.
All right, let go of the pencil. How easy was that, right? It just dropped right out of your hand. It's just letting go. So when you do these various manifestation techniques, let's say you write the list. Okay, you write this whole extensive list. And I need to tell you what the first two items have to be on everybody's list. Item number one is, I desire a man or a woman, whatever your choice is, who is available and ready for a long-term, committed, monogamous marriage, relationship, whatever words are important to you. That's the number one thing you want on your list. Number two is geography. Let's say you live in Seattle and you want to spend the rest of your life in Seattle. You want to add that. Number two is my soulmate either lives in Seattle or is willing to move within so many miles of Seattle, whatever it is. And I tell you this because I had one woman who manifested everything on her list, the perfect guy, only she lived in Columbus, Ohio, and he lived in Sydney, Australia. So the geography part's really important. So you get the whole list together, and then you do a release process with it. What I did with my list was I took it down to the beach. I live in La Jolla, California. I said a prayer of thanks, prayer of gratitude. Dear God, Goddess, and all that is, I give thanks for delivering my perfect right one to me in the right timing. I burn the list, and then I scatter the ashes into the ocean to set it free. If that sounds too weird or too strange, you can write it out on a beautiful piece of letterhead or stationery and put it on an altar if you have it, put it in an envelope under your mattress. You can fold it up in little bitsy pieces and put it in a pink or red helium balloon and physically let it go to the heavens. There's lots of ways to release it so that you're not obsessing about it. Deepak Chopra has this great line in one of his books that, you know, if you're tending to a garden, you don't go out at 3 in the morning and pull on the leaves to make them grow faster. You trust that Mother Nature, in her own divine timing, will grow the flower or the plant or the tomato or whatever it is that you're growing, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing with this. You just release it. And if you find yourself obsessing or you find yourself having a big pity party, I'm all alone, nobody loves me, it's never going to work for me, then what I encourage you to do is get an egg timer out, set it for 5 minutes, and spend the next 5 minutes being as miserable as you can possibly be. Don't think about anything else, about how bad you feel, where it feels in your body, what it's like. I want you to dive as deep into the pits as you can possibly go. And I promise you, you can't even sustain 5 minutes of feeling that miserable. That by putting your attention on your misery, you automatically let it go. And if it comes back, then you just, you know, rinse and repeat. Do it over again.
Well, you know, in sports, we often talk about trying too hard. If you're trying to increase your batting average or you're trying to, you know, run that that pattern perfectly or trying to shave off another tenth of a second off your running time, if you try too hard, you find yourself going backwards. And that happens in all kinds of things, programming, artwork. You probably experience it in your own work. But when you release, when you just say, okay, that's it, I'm not going to try anymore, the next pitch, you will make no effort whatsoever and hit the ball over the fence.
Exactly.
It's just
the zone, right? It's going into the zone. You know, you've let go of this obsessing, you know. And, you know, I think one of the things that our baby boomer generation hasn't learned very well blanking out because I'm in a different time zone, but it's about not obsessing. It's about an addiction to misery. There's a certain level of people that are so used to suffering and so used to being right about the suffering that they have a hard time letting go of it. And I saw a perfect example of this in the movie Last Chance Harvey with Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson. I don't know if you saw that film. It's about two middle-aged people have always been lousy losers in love, never worked for them. They find each other, it looks like it might work, and it doesn't look like it, it's going to work. And then at the end of the film, the Dustin Hoffman character is telling this woman, I really, really want to have a relationship with you. And she has this whole meltdown screaming at him, I don't want to get hurt again, you're going to tell me it's not working and you have to leave. And she stops the meltdown and she looks at him and she says, I'm just not willing to give up being disappointed.
And there you go. That's a good line.
Yeah, I'm just not willing to give up being disappointed. And there's so many people who are in that place. They've had several relationships. They haven't worked. They've been lied to, cheated on, betrayed, whatever. And some part of them shuts down. And all I want to do is encourage people to try one more time. I was 44 when I got married for the first time. My mother-in-law was 80 when she fell in love with her second soulmate. I've got friends of all ages who have tried the soulmate secret and it's worked for them. So all I want to do is encourage you to give it one more shot because it's worth it. Having somebody to share your life with is incredible. It's just so wonderful to wake up every morning and the first words you hear or you say are, I love you. I mean,
that sounds really amazing. One of the things, I know you really have to go, it's about 4 minutes to the top of the hour, but, you know, for people that get discouraged out there, they say, you know, well, I'm a nearsighted computer programmer and I've never played a day of sports in my life and I sunburn easily. You said someone said to you one time, every pot has a lid.
Yes. My grandmother always used to say that to me, and I believe that's true. And I also believe we get more than one soulmate in a lifetime. So if yours is no longer available to you for whatever reason, there is at least one more out there, if not that. There are 6 billion people on this planet. There's more than one possible lid for your pot.
What a marvelous message of hope. The book is The Soulmate Secret. My guest has been Ariel Ford, who just returned from a a grueling Caribbean cruise, and we feel so sorry for her that she had to go through that. We, however, are enjoying the frozen tundra in western Idaho. And Ariel, I really appreciate you coming on the program. I so appreciate the book.
Thank you so much. And I don't know if you get onto Facebook, but I just posted some video and pictures from my trip. So if you get a chance, take a look at them.
Very good, very good. Get out, buy the book. It's easy to read. Place it in an auspicious place in your house and thumb through it often because there are lots of little tidbits in there. You don't have to sit down and read for an hour at a time. I found you could read for 6 or 7 minutes and get a whole lot of stuff that helps you through your day.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure, Ariel. Thank you so much for coming on X Squared Radio.
All right, good night.
Good night. Well, there you have it, X Squared Radio listeners. We don't often do romance, but the law of attraction has many different aspects to it. There are not only the things that have to do with machines and have to do with wealth and have to do with changing the consciousness of the universe. There's also having to do all of that by yourself. So if you like being by yourself, that's fine. If you're like me and you're a workaholic and you work 27 and a half hours a day, I just cut back a little bit. I just thought I'd let you know that. Then that's fine. But if you like to have somebody in the snow with you, if you like to have someone in the hot tub with you or in the sailboat with you, then pick up the book, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. It works, I promise. We'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. It's a short break, about 3 minutes. So relax a little bit. Take your time. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes with more of X Squared Radio. We're going to be talking about skies over cashiers. We'll be back after this. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of the Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio.
The spy's flight to space travel.
We're glad you're here with us tonight. We're coming to you live from the frozen wasteland of western Idaho. AccuWindow forecast is rain, possibly snow tonight. Be careful out there. Also want to let you know a little bit about NitroPack. They do have the best stuff, even though we don't have the banner up at X Squared Radio anymore because we ended our affiliate relationship. We feel so strongly about the company and about getting prepared that we encourage you to go to NitroPack.com anyway and go ahead and pick up the 72-hour kit because you never know when you have to hightail it out, and you need those basics to get you by. I also want to let you know that the phone lines are open all night tonight. In the news, Milky Way galaxy has billions of Earths. There could be 100 billion Earth-like planets in our galaxy, a U.S. conference has heard. Dr. Alan Boss of the Carnegie Institution of Science said many of these worlds could be inhabited by simple life forms. He was speaking at the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Chicago. So far, telescopes have been able to detect just over 300 planets outside our solar system. They do that with new theories called perturbation methods. They look for the wobble in stars, and occasionally they get lucky, and one of the planets passes across the face of the star that they're looking at, and they can tell just about how large it is, and based on the wobble of the sun, they can tell about the orbit. And what they mean by Earth-like planets are that they're just the right distance from the sun to have liquid water. And if you have liquid water, it won't be long before you have algae. It won't be long after you have algae, you'll have oxygen in your atmosphere. And then, according to Gene Roddenberry, you have an M-class planet. Very few of these planets would be capable of supporting life, however. Most are gas giants like our Jupiter, and many orbit so close to their parent stars that any microbes would have to survive roasting temperatures. But based on the limited number of planets found so far, Dr. Boss has estimated that each sun-like star has an average one Earth-like planet. Now, that's just within visible range in our galaxy. Sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? That we indeed might not be alone. If there are Earth-like planets out there, maybe they have more advanced or less advanced life forms than ours. It doesn't take too long of exploring one's planet before you want to step off the island out into the cold expanse of space and find your own way. The rest of our program tonight, we're going to be talking to Glennis Hennin, and we'll be getting that person on the phone here in just a little bit. We wanted to recap with you. Ariel Ford was on the program in the last hour. If you're not getting all 3 hours of X Squared Radio, please let us know. We'll get with your affiliate and take care of that. Also, by way of BBS Radio, the network by which we come to you around the world, it is now virtually impossible to fill up the server. We have absolutely unlimited bandwidth, so if you are having difficulty from time to time getting into X Squared Radio, keep trying. You must be on the wrong feed. because we are now flowing to every single computer on Earth. And for those of you who are thinking about advertising to a global audience, our listeners are a little different than the normal AM, FM radio listener who might be driving their car, and I'll throw in XM and Sirius there, as long as those companies now merged exist. Our listener is sitting there with a PC and a credit card in their hands. So if you want to make an impression, this is the place. If you want to reach that global audience, this is the place. X-squared radio at bbsradio.com. In the news also, there are, as in case you haven't watched the news lately, a tremendous amount of economic upheaval going on in the world. It is not just local to your neighborhood, not just local to your state, and certainly not local to our country, although it is said that if we can stimulate the United States back into economic health, the rest of the world will follow. In past times, that was true. We don't know about now. What we have is a very unique situation, not unlike what we had in 1929. Those of you that remember your history will recall that in 1929, the stock markets were on an amazing high. People were margining stock when 10 cents would margin a dollar's worth of stock. No one could do any wrong. Every company was doing well, not unlike the 1990s in the dot-com boom. Anything that had that ring to it just gained what they called value so quickly. But it wasn't really value. The companies didn't have earnings, they didn't have profits, they didn't have assets. And just the price of the stock was going up and up and up, and it was very nice to get on the front of the IPO wave and double or triple your money or quadruple your money. And we have political leaders today who made their fortunes riding the dot-com wave. Likewise, in 1929, there were industrial magnates who rode the wave of being able to buy companies, utilities, and even city blocks for pennies, pennies on the dollar. After the crash of 1929, there were two classes of Americans left: the absolute despondent poor, working for 75 cents a day and all the potatoes they could carry home, and the immensely wealthy, today we would call them billionaires, who had so much money and so much earnings, and prices, of course, were so low that they literally could not live long enough to spend all their money. They spent their money like it was going out of style, and they did so for about 50 years. And it almost was too good to be true, and when you review history and look at it, it almost looks engineered, as though those companies that were very cash heavy, without debt, many, many, many holdings in banks, in gold, and in cash itself, were able to fly in and scoop up companies at just pennies on the dollar, one takeover after another. Not unlike the stock market now. It has been heading down steadily for months and months, and many of the lower-priced stocks are now so inexpensive, it is unimaginable. 2 pennies, 5 pennies, 10 pennies per share. Yeah, that is so low your average high school student could buy a decent holding in most small companies out there now. Even the major stocks, Citicorp, ExxonMobil, others are at all-time lows. Sears is also down there. You could, if you had faith in the stock market, scoop up shares right and left with cash and hold on to them like the magnates of old and try to make yourself wealthy when and if it rebounds. There's a difference, though, between then and now. Then the dollar was almighty. Most of the rest of the world was caught up in immense poverty, and once the banks in the U.S. failed, the loans that they had made to other countries also defaulted, and there was literally no import, no export going on, and it drew us into a global war, which ended up plunging the earth into a never-ending war. Wars and rumors of wars and cold wars and hot wars and skirmishes, so much so that now we have a professional terrestrial and extraterrestrial military. That is to say, the military exists on terra firma, as well as the ocean on and under it, but also in space. So now we have a military behemoth full of overhead and capabilities beyond the imaginations of the average citizen, and nothing to do. So when this situation, which we wrote about in the second book of the Ark of Millions of Years, 2012 and the Harvest of the End Times, and I'm sure countless other writers have pontificated upon the subject as well, so you, the listeners of X Squared Radio, cannot say that you did not know this was going to happen. If we were to begin now listing the number of predictions that we have made on this program, either from me, the host, or from our many, many guests that have come true, we would run out of time and not have time to have Glynis Henin with Skies Over Cashiers come on in about 15 minutes. That is the situation we find ourselves in, except now we have two things that we did not have in 1929. Now we have instantaneous communication globally. Sound, video, we can move electronic transfers of transactions 24 hours a day in between companies, B2B or C2B, any way you want to do it. Now we can have instantaneous effects on the universe, with our dollars, with our votes, with our blogs, and with our videos, and with even the left-hand click of our mouse, do we affect the universe. Where we click, whether we buy or not, has an effect on the universe. The number of visits each website gets, statistically, will add up to empower the owners of that website to actually do something. Hence, our latest presidential election, Barack Obama had arguably the most successful internet campaign ever launched for the presidential campaign. His opponents could not keep up with his success. They had no idea where the sources of his funds were coming from, because they were coming from you. They were coming from the listeners everywhere. They were sending money to his website, and it was flowing in 24 hours a day, helping him with his cash flow, helping him with his campaign. So these kinds of effects, there was one other effect I forgot to add, and that is that the number of currencies in the world has vastly condensed. Now we are down to approximately 3. We have the dollar, soon to become the Amero, which is a North American currency tying Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. together into one economy and one exchange. And we have the euro, which ties all of the countries of Western Europe together into one economic force. And we also have the yuan, which is the Chinese currency, and definitely the dominant currency in Asia. China has very little debt, in fact carries most of the debt of the United States, which puts them in a peculiar position of banker. You don't want to get your banker mad at you, especially when you owe them money. So we have a very peculiar situation here. We have markets which are predictably going down almost on a daily basis, not because the stocks are not trading, they are. It's because the value in the companies, the perception of value in the companies is dropping. And so the amount that people are willing to pay for the stock goes down and down and down as people dump shares to try to make up for the loss in income that they have. I myself made rearrangements of my 401k after my company that handles my 401k informed me that despite their best efforts, it had dropped 65% in value. I thought possibly a blind pig could do better. So I made some changes on my own and stopped the bleeding, and believe it or not, the darn thing's starting to turn around and make value. If you find yourself in a similar situation, you're having to sell the nest egg prematurely to make it through the next aspect of your life, then perhaps you want to pay a little attention to the events going on around you, because you have an effect on it, not a long-range effect, only a short-term effect as well. You can do one of two things. Actually, you can do one of three things. A, you can grab all your money, put it in your mattress, and hide until it's all over. Two, you can spend everything like there's no tomorrow in hopes that your numerous trips to Walmart this week will stimulate the economy and turn everything around. Or you can use your money wisely, and you can put it into projects that will stimulate the economy in a long-term way, in a way that the big boys don't expect. There are two areas in which you can help. One is the area of new energy. We've talked about this before on this program, but I'm going to deliver a message to you now that is a little unique. We haven't done this before. Given the fact that the new stimulus package has now been signed in its multi-thousand page form, unread, unedited, unvalidated by the very legislators who signed it into law recently, we are now digging into it, and we're discovering all of the earmarks, all of the special interests, all of the very clever people who managed to slide their bridge or slide their factory into this bill, slide their road or their city park into this bill, are now reaping the benefits of it. But a funny thing about legislators, they don't actually do anything. However, you do. So we're going to let you know how to access some of that stimulus package. You can sit back and wait for the check to hit your mailbox. And you can not let the envelope get cold, turn it into cash, and watch it evaporate as quickly as it arrived. Or you can take your own action. Even before that stimulus package gets here, you can get part of it for yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to send you a check to sit around your house and warm your couch and play video games. No. But if you have an idea, if you're recently laid off or you're underemployed or you're about to be laid off or you're about to be underemployed or you're about to be early retired, you might think about starting your own business. What would you do? How about the thing that you do best? It doesn't matter whether you sew or whether you weld or whether you design circuits in your basement. This stimulus package may have something for you. How do you access it? Well, I do not recommend going to the online patent services and trying to patent your idea. Waste of time, my friends. Waste of time. You can file all the patents you want, and all you're going to find out is that the idea that you've come up with, A, either infringes on someone else's idea, or B, is now in the public domain, and the big boys are going to use it, and they're not going to pay you a dime for it. Oh, you might think, well, gee, if they do that, then I'll just sue them. Uh-huh. Guess who bears all the expense for that lawsuit? You do. Do you have a couple of $1 million to sue FedEx? Do you have a few $1 million laying around to sue General Motors? I think not. The best thing that you can do is immediately get yourself a Dun and Bradstreet number. D-U-N-S, Duns, it's called. Just go to Duns.gov. Go to Duns.gov. And get yourself a small company formed, be it a partnership or a corporation. Go to the Duns and get yourself a Duns number. There are three ways of doing it. You can get a free one. It takes a little while, a few days. You can get a $50 one. which gives you a little bit more priority, or you can get the $329 one, and that's the one that begins the credit report, that begins the background check, that puts you in a position to be able to access those funds. So if you build something in the area of new energy, and I happen to come to your conference, and I'm sitting in the audience, and I see you behind the microphone, and you say something like, the federal government is giving all their grant programs to the big boys. They're not giving it to people like us. I'm going to pull you aside, and I'm going to ask you one question. Have you ever applied for a grant? Now, I can tell you the answer, because every single time I've asked that question, the answer has been no. I sit out here and bitch about it, but I don't sign up. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It takes a little bit of time, and you're going to follow through with it, because there's a next step to this. Once you get your DUNS number, you have to register as a vendor. And you do that through a website called CCR.gov. CCR.gov. You go to this website after you get your DUNS number. You enter it in. It doesn't cost anything. And you register your now new little company and your new little idea with CCR.gov. Now, there are some contact information, some checking account information, you know, the basic tools you need to get paid. Got it? Once that's done, there's one more step. You have to wait a few days for CCR to register your DUNS. Make sure you get all those little boxes filled in, dot all the I's, cross all the T's. Again, you haven't spent hardly any money at all. The next step is you go to FedConnect. FedConnect.com. FedConnect, FedConnect.com. And get registered. It takes a little while. They have to do a little IRS validation. Make sure you're not a bandit. Make sure you're legal to live in this country. Blah, blah, blah. But once that's done, guess what you have access to? You have access to the stimulus package. Every single program the federal government has. USDA, Department of Energy, they're all listed there. Spend a little time each evening instead of playing video games or surfing Facebook or MySpace, and do something. If you have an invention out there, you have a process for generating electricity, for cleaning water, for eliminating waste, for turning junk into value, that's the place to go. And I'm telling you, people, there aren't millions of dollars there. There are billions of dollars there. It's a little like playing the lottery, folks. Buy a ticket. Buy a ticket. If you miss this, we're going to have a link at X Squared Radio. You can go back and you can listen to this archive, and you can listen to it again and get those websites. If you didn't have a pen with you, play it back over and over again until you write down this process. Here's why. Because the economy is about to change. You're sensing it. Everyone's sensing it. If you picked up a newspaper or turned on a television or listened to the radio at all, you're going to know about it. We want you to be able to change it, and you can do it. There are over 10 million of you out there listening to this, and this is the way to change it. If you are sick and tired of the big boys getting all the money, get yours. And start your company today. Grants, federal loan guarantees, you can do joint ventures, you can put your idea out there and let them find you. There are ways of connecting. Don't sit in Smallville, USA, and complain that you can't get anywhere, that you don't have money, and it takes money to make money. Don't want to hear it, folks. Get off it. Get to the websites. And take care of it. We need you more than you need us. All right, our guest tonight for this hour, and hopefully he will stay, because there's lots and lots to talk about. What's going on in the skies over Cashiers? Our guest for the rest of the program tonight is Glynis Hennin, and something's been going on over the skies of Cashiers. My producer is our guest on the air with us. Not yet. Okay, we're continuing to try. Let's keep trying that number, and we'll get him up here in a few minutes. As you know, the phone lines are open all night tonight, so go to x2radio.com, or if you have it as a hot button in the old website, x2-radio.com, or go to bbsradio.com. And the call-in numbers are there. You can reach us anywhere, on-planet or off-planet. If you could reach a cell phone tower, you can get to us at 530-776-5154. Anywhere, on-planet or off-planet. Those cell phone towers are everywhere. Most people have free nights and weekends. Call us up. Ask a question. We've been talking about the law of attraction. We've been talking about giving you, the listener, tools to take part in this stimulus package. Don't sit out there and wait for a check. Make it happen. We'll have our guest on in a moment. His name is Glynis Hennen, and he is a spokesman for Sky Above Cashiers. If you are not familiar with the website, it's skyabovecashiers.com. Go there. Find out what's been going on. UFOs. Who knows what they are? And do you feel like global first contact is about to happen? Our guest, Glynis Hennen, is on. How are you, ma'am?
I'm very well, and you?
Excellent, excellent. What's going on in the skies over Cashiers?
Well, we've been shown a lot of different kinds of UFOs at present. From the 28th of June of last year, which was the first time I had seen a UFO in my life, and I was in my house on the veranda, I saw a big light outside, and I thought it was a moon. I didn't pay any attention, and went off to bed and came back down, and I usually have a midnight snack, and I came back down, and I thought, gosh, I'm going to go check that light again. And I did, and it was a pulsating blue and green and red, pulsating in and out. And first of all, you know, you get fearful, and you think, oh, my gosh, what is that? And then I looked out, and I thought, oh, well, let me go and stand outside. And, of course, you get the fear factor because that's just what everybody feels. And I thought, well, I won't. Dark and cold, so I went up to my bedroom, and the light, the ship, had actually moved over towards my, which was towards the east, and I could see it from my bedroom window, and I watched it for about, I would say 30 minutes, and then I went to bed, and I also, my daughter's also here, that she's the one that took the picture for the first time the same day, but several hours later. And she was in the park.
Oh, was that a daylight picture? Did she take that picture during the day?
Yes, it was during the day. And it's actually on the website. I don't know if you've seen the website.
Oh, yeah, I have. I'm just trying to audio describe it to the callers. And now the website is Sky Over Cashiers, right?
Sky Ships Over Cashiers.
Is it Skies plural?
Sky, S-K-Y, Ships Over Cashiers, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. The thing about the website is there are a lot of photos there. Some of them are very clear and some are kind of blurry, but I want to ask you a question about the daylight picture. Could she see it with the naked eye, or was this something that just happened to show up in the camera? Was it a digital camera?
Yeah, that's exactly what she did. She and her friends were in the parking lot, and she just put the cell phone to the light. And the next minute she looked down, and there it was in the camera.
Well, now, is anyone else filming these over there?
Yeah, we have Beck Horn, who actually started the YouTube site. He's here. He's on the...
What do you attribute this to? Is there contact being made, or is anybody having any kind of telepathic contact, or
yes, we're being telepathically guided. I'll let Bex discuss that with you about Miri.
Brooks?
Yeah, hi, how are
Hello,
you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What's going on over there?
Well, we're just trying to, I guess, you know, do our best to publicize and broadcast what's going on in this area and let people know that this is, you know, a potentially good new UFO hotspot. And I'm just playing a role here of just trying to let people, the public in general, know about what's going on here and using email and YouTube and trying to get people to look up at the sky a little bit more often and they might see something. So,
well, who first made the discovery? What was was this a nighttime spotting, or was it something like a flying wing or a disc or a light?
Well, Glennis has seen most of the ships. I haven't been fortunate enough yet to see anything, but she has seen quite a few, and a lot of them are a sort of a multicolored rainbow-like appearance, and some say that it's similar to some of the craft that Billy Meyer saw, you know, back in the 70s, and so it's similar to that, but there's different shapes and sizes, and there's a number of testimonies on the website that indicate, it seems like the common theme, though, is sort of a rainbow lights that are pulsating, you know, back and forth.
Are they just appearing over the sky, or are they flying over the town of Cashiers? Where is Cashiers? Is it close to Charlotte?
It's more in the far western part of North Carolina. Asheville is probably, well, Asheville is the largest city in western North Carolina. It's about an hour and a half southwest of Asheville, and it's a small mountain resort town, and
like that Pisgah Mountains?
Pisgah, right. I seem to remember you mentioned that you either lived in or you're familiar with Vail?
Yeah, I used to live in the teeming metropolis of Vail. that's spelled V-A-L-E, not like Vail.
Right, is that up toward, is it near Hickory or?
It's a ways from Hickory, about 10 minutes from Hickory. Hickory's an interesting little city right there along I-40. Half the time they get ice and half the time snow in the wintertime.
Right.
Interesting area. Now, the area around the Pisgah Mountains, believe it or not, especially the last 5 or 6 years, we have been getting a lot of reports of low-flying black delta wing craft, and we don't really know where they go. They just appear over the sky. They fly over a few miles of rural western North Carolina, and then they disappear. Is there an Air Force base near there?
I'm not sure if there is or not, to be honest. I don't think anywhere really close by. Maybe over in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, Virginia.
And in Virginia. Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Well, I'll tell you what, according to the information that's on the website, these crafts, as they've been seen, are covering quite a large area. I mean, it goes from here over to Oak Ridge, Tennessee, down to, say, Atlanta, eastern part of North Carolina, parts of South Carolina, and all the way up to Northern Virginia. They've been seen. At this point in time, I feel like this is just, it's like a seed that's just germinated. And we were hoping for more witnesses to step forward, and if they see something in other parts of these states, that they will somehow get wind of the website and notify us, and we can put some of their testimonies up on the website.
I have an acquaintance in Vail. He is a psychologist, been there for, 40 years, and been doing, life overwhelm and different kinds of counseling over time. And about 10 years ago, someone came into his office, was having nightmares, difficulty sleeping, it was beginning to affect their work, and he put on some soft music, and Granville has a talent at being able to put people in a very relaxed state. And in a somewhat hypnotic state, this person began to recall an abduction experience. And it was Granville's first, and he's a rather unassuming person, very soft-spoken, very methodical, and very very careful.
Excuse me for interrupting. Is this person's last name Angel?
Yeah, Granville Angel.
His
life changed after that, because then another came, and another, and before too long he had met thousands of people in the North Carolina area that had experiences with UFOs.
Wow.
And I've been to his place. I've sat in his little, I won't call it a gazebo. It's kind of an odd-shaped building in the middle of a very carefully designed garden, which has grown over the years. It's a very relaxing and beautiful spot in western North Carolina.
Right.
And he has accumulated an amazing database of testimonies. What about the people at Cashiers? Are we having contact with these craft?
Well, again, it's early. I mean, like Glennis said, I mean, this whole thing over in this part of the country just began last summer, and you know, I would say on the website there may be about 10 or 12 people who have contacted us, and you know, their written testimony is up there. So these are people who live in this area or within, let's say, 25, 30 miles of Cashiers.
The one nice thing about the Pisgah Mountains is very little light pollution. And believe it or not, in Astronomy Magazine, they list North Carolina as having consistently the most clear skies of any state on the eastern seaboard. Great for dark sky events for astronomy. And there's a great astronomy club called Catawba Sky, and they're located at the Catawba High School. They have an observatory there with a 25-inch Dobsonian scope, and it's really, really fascinating to go there and look through this scope. But they have dark sky events in the area around western North Carolina, and they often used to come out to the house because we were by ourselves on a cul-de-sac out there. And a nice paved area to set up telescopes, and we looked at the last comet that came through and had several nice, cool evening dark sky events out there. And we're out there one night, and these are all my astronomy buddies, which are definitely not UFO-oriented. And above the sky, above us, we see this gold kind of ball going overhead, and everyone thinks it's a satellite. We haven't checked with heavens above, so I don't really know if it was a satellite. But all of a sudden, the thing kind of slowed down a little bit, and I, for lack of a better word, it beamed up. I mean, it shined like a silver piece of lightning up there for about 15 seconds, and then it went right back to its gold shape and went on.
Right.
And no one really knew what to make of that. Have you seen anything like that over Cashiers?
Yes, I have. We have seen on two occasions, the 6th of October, over Glenville. We have a beautiful lake in Lake Glenville. And I was driving home. One night was 7:30, and driving past the shoreline at a place called The Point, and I pulled over because I saw this low gold light. And I sat and watched it for about 20 minutes. And then 2 days after that, I saw the same gold lights in the same spot. Now, there are different kinds of sky ships. You know, they were saying that some of them, you know, hover around water. Some of them go into the water, too. So it's very interesting. And then I've seen some gold lights over towards the west of Cache's, towards Franklin. Seen a couple of those, and then another night I saw a pulsating light and two flashing lights, which were, one was going off to the west and the other was going towards the pulsating light, and it looked like it was going to crash into it, and it came out the other side. It was really pretty wild.
So it appeared to go right through the mountain?
Right through this pulsating light.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was a skyship. We call them skyships.
Yeah. By the way, the website is skyships over, skyshipsovercashiers.com. We'll put a link at X Squared Radio so you all can go there. What's being done now with the database? Are you getting a lot of regular contacts, regular reports? I notice you have a report network set up there.
We have. We've got the MUFON are aware of it. And a few of the papers are aware of it. Go ahead.
Have any,
this isn't a really good analogy. I feel like I'm like, you know, Barnum and Bailey here. I'm just trying to beat the drums a little bit and do whatever I can with the funds I have, which is not a whole lot, but, you know, using email and, for example, I did contact a number of radio stations and other people in this area, in this field, to let them know about this. And Brooks, I'm very grateful for your, you know, setting this up letting us talk a little bit.
It's not a problem. When I went to the website, I noticed you had a photograph of a plasma ship, broad daylight shot over the trees with the Pisgah Mountains in the background. And I said, holy cow, I think I have a picture just like that. And I went back in my archives and pulled out two shots that I took, and there was a lady next to me. I can't remember what her name was now, but she's a government employee, so she probably doesn't want me to say her name anyway. She was taking 10 megapixel shots of the same mountain at the same time, and we both photographed the same ship. And I'm telling you, it looks almost exactly like what you have in this picture, this DCB
What's on the homepage?
Shot, right.
Yeah.
And that was a June 7, 2008 shot, and I think my shot was in July of 2007.
Hmm. Glenis, do you know where that picture came from?
That was at Balsam Mountain Inn area at the golf course there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Buchanan.
So, did they notice something there at the golf course? By the way, golf courses in North Carolina are the best in the world if you get a chance to get out there.
Well, he actually was a mountaineer, and he was actually filming the golf course. And by chance, this ship came into his sphere, and that's how he got it.
You know, an interesting thing about these ships, and I you know, find these broad daylight shots to be just so amazing, because the human eye, and maybe the human brain itself, isn't really programmed to see these plasma ships as they fly by during broad daylight. By the way, we had a video on the website for a while, and we'll put it in the archives for you, of a ship that flew right over the Barack Obama inauguration, between the CNN building and the Washington Monument.
Well, I believe
got
it.
Caught on film,
yeah.
Was seen by millions.
Wow.
I've seen that, yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't able to blow it up enough like this one that that DC Buchanan's got. This doesn't look like there's a little blow-up shot, but this ship appears to be probably 100 feet across, this one that's going over the golf course. The interesting thing is they don't show up to the naked eye. They show up in the digital camera, because the digital camera has a sampling rate that allows the ships to show up on the CCD, where they don't show up to the naked eye. I think the ships have figured out how to move around with impunity in broad daylight at low altitude until somebody picks up a digital camera. I guess
I was trying to mention, maybe Glennis can comment on this further, but there seems to be, in some cases, with these craft, an interaction going on. There was a very recent testimony put up on the Skyships Over Cashers website, and I'm the kind of person, Brooks, who wants to say, well, let's talk to this guy, maybe I can come to his home and film his testimony on camera. We can put it on YouTube, but he's a little camera shy, or he just doesn't want to be photographed. But he works as a security guard at a local, well, it's a Western Carolina university, and just literally about 3 weeks ago, he was, you know, this was in the middle of the night around 2:15 a.m. He was with another person, and they were actually listening to Coast Radio, and they saw some rotating multicolored lights that were making small loops in the sky over Cashers and Glenville, which is a nearby little town, and they were, you know, pretty certain it was something that was not man-made. And what they did was, at least, was they one of the, this guy aimed a flashlight at the skyship, and it instantly went from rotating multicolors to just green, while also moving in the direction of the two men. So that's what I mean by interaction, and I think Glennis has had some experience with that.
Yeah, telepathic communication.
Right.
You know, where
well,
I asked them to move to the left or beam out, and they've beamed out, and they've come back on, and they've moved to the left or to the right, you know. It's
so do you think they can pick up on your thoughts?
I think so. Otherwise, why would they move or you know, tap out and come back in, you know, if they weren't be able to be telepathic? We all naturally are telepathic anyway.
Well, how are your listening abilities? Are you getting anything back besides the movement of the ship? Are you getting any kind of imagery? I mean, you're probably not going to get words, but you might get pictures. You might get images.
Well, sometimes, you know, what I actually do is actually try to meditate a lot. When I see a ship, I usually try to get in the bath and see if I can actually respond to whatever they're wanting to give me, some information. And sometimes I've been able to write it down. It hasn't been anything other than something significant for mankind, you know.
Interesting. What kind of feeling do you get from it? Is it a peaceful feeling? Do you think these are
very
invaders?
Very loving.
Oh, really?
Very loving feeling. The fact that they're here to try to help us not completely annihilate, you know, because we're on the verge of annihilation, the planet anyway, and the people, if we don't ascend to a higher level of consciousness. And I think what they're trying to do is awaken us, so that you know if they think that the Creator is going to come down 107 or Highway 40, it's not going to happen, you know. I think most people know it's coming from the sky, but how many people are actually looking up at the sky to see? You know what I mean?
Well, do you think this is typical of small-town America, or do you think it's unique for Cashiers? Do they have a base in the lake, or is this something that's going on everywhere and you're trying to make people aware?
It's going on everywhere. There was last year in the fall in Texas, outside Houston, there was a whole conglomerate of skyships being seen there.
Right, that was Stevensville.
Pardon?
That was Stevensville, and we had...
Stevensville, right.
Exactly.
Press them
there, not
there,
too far from Bush's home.
Right. But I think that they don't usually go into highly populated areas because, you know, they're not going to be seen, and they usually hang out towards the mountains and the smaller towns where they can be seen.
Well, I think the people of O'Hare Airport might argue with that. There was one that appeared over O'Hare Airport for a while and brought the place to a standstill for a short period of time. It didn't fly anywhere. It just kind of slipped through a hole and off it went. Do you the ships that you see, do you see them fly off into space or over the horizon, or did they just fade out and disappear?
Well, they usually outstay me. You know, I usually have to go off after 30 minutes or an hour, and they're still there, and I'm the one that's gone to bed, you know?
Is there anyone that's using the pointing lasers there? There's a green laser that can reach up into, 5-6 miles up. Many airline pilots don't like them, but they're still legal to buy on the Internet. Anybody using those to try to communicate with the craft? Do they see them?
No, this is where you should talk about Mary.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have one. I'd like to be able to see something because I believe I would use it to use, you know, some form of communication, whether it's a laser light or just a common flashlight.
This flashlight communication is often called the CE5 protocol, the Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind, mm-hmm. which is communication between the craft and people on the ground. Now, Glynis, you say that it's occurring telepathically for you, and for this other person occurred through the use of a flashlight. Is there any evidence of a landing anywhere, any kind of interaction between people on the ground?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying to awaken us to the possibility of. I mean, if it had to land in the middle of Cassius, people would absolutely have a heart attack. I think what the ETs are trying to do is familiarize us with the possibility of an encounter. You know,
Highly interesting. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines here in just a minute. Let's go ahead and take a 3-minute break, and you two stay on the phone, and we'll come back after a couple messages here, and then what we'll do is we'll see if we can't bring some witnesses that are sitting out there listening. Maybe you've alerted them and you're going to be on X Squared Radio tonight, and maybe people will call in from other places of the country. They've seen something similar. We'll be back after these messages with more X Squared Radio. Friends down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TBT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TBT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the 6-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. And they have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPak. Click the NitroPak banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from Western Idaho, where our AccuWindow forecast is rain and possibly snow. Tonight, in the news, about a week old actually, the Government of Canada provides open access to UFO X-Files. The Toronto, Canada is based independent news agency Zealand Communications has learned that the Canadian government, under the leadership of Honorable Prime Minister, actually retired, Stephen Harper, has provided open access to approximately 9,500 UFO files. These files can be found at Canada's UFOs, the Search for the Unknown. The Canada website states, these documents were accumulated between 1947 and the early 1980s and represent all records filed with the federal government on UFOs. There are approximately 9,500 digitized documents in a variety of formats, including correspondence reports, memos, and procedures. Some are specifically concerned with particular UFO sightings, while others are more generic in nature. It's interesting that the governments are now beginning to release their UFO files, and nothing could be more exciting than that. I'd like to see full disclosure myself. My two guests tonight, Glynis Hennis, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I'll get him in just a second. Skyshipsovercashiers.com, if you want to keep up with the conversation while we're going over it. If you're listening live, you can call in at 530-776-5154 from anywhere, on planet, off planet. If you can get to a cell phone tower, you can reach us. There is an event happening, and it's happening everywhere. Some are calling it Global First Contact. Some are saying that it's preparatory. But everyone is talking about a message of some kind, be it a message of love or a message of fear. Different messages, different places, different kinds of craft. If you've seen one or something's going on in your neighborhood, Let us know. Call us up, 776-5154, area code 530. My guests are back on. How are you?
Good.
Just fine.
Okay, a question about the telepathic communication, because I've had guests on this program that talk about rather traumatic experiences with UFOs, and some of them have been not good, that they've actually had probing and even surgical operations done on them, implants put in them, and they're really three messages going on out there with UFOs. One is, you know, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And the other one is, you know, we've been living here as long as you have, and if you leave us alone, we'll leave you alone. And the other one is sort of a message of deception that might be our own government that's involved in some of these shenanigans, and they're trying to get us ready for militarizing space. So what are your feelings? What are the feelings of the people around there in the MUFON and people that are making these sightings and taking these photographs? What are their feelings about the UFO sightings?
I do have a few friends who are part of MUFON. I am not, but, you know, they investigate things, and I think there is that, you know, the dark side, the element of the abductions and so forth. I feel like in this case, the information that's been received by certain individuals telepathically, that appears on the website, by the way, it's if you go to the home page and just click on Skyship Messages, you can read quite a bit about it. One of the primary statements that I put into the YouTube video that I did, and I'll just quote this: "The vehicles hovering over your area are not occupied by gray aliens with big eyes. They are occupied by the progenitors of the human race." So I feel like, and that plus other statements that are made on the messages page, indicate to me that these are very benevolent, highly evolved beings that are here to help, and they are trying to encourage us to, you know, to first of all look up and pay attention to what's going on, and maybe get a little bit more active in learning about these craft and the beings and the help that they can provide.
Are we getting any information from them, like solutions to energy or solutions to socioeconomic or political problems that we might be having? We feel like we're kind of powerless against the mech units of organized warfare. What can we do?
Well, Brooks, again, I think it's right now, it's, you know, the early stages. It's information that is inspiring, at least to me, and it's helpful. It's a little, you know, a little general, but again, the information that's on the website indicates, and I'm just quoting from one of the messages that was on the 13th of July of last year. Many residents of the Cashiers area have spheres of great influence. And once they become aware of the skyships, they will be able to spread the news and give credence to the reality of the skyships. Certain ones among the Cashiers herd will become receivers of telepathic information from our skyships. With sufficient psychological preparation, some may have face-to-face meetings with their space brothers. And they go on to talk about the genetic bond between the people of Earth and those in these benevolent skyships. And they say that the occupants of the skyships over Cashiers could easily walk into the town without being singled out by tourists. So
that is interesting. So there
you know, I mean, you know, there hasn't been any hard evidence of this yet, but I feel like it's forthcoming in the very near future.
Well, we'll continue to have our open invitation for any such beings. And I know it really sounds ridiculous, but it isn't. It's really honest and heartfelt. If they really want to, use their ability to communicate with the world, we will be happy to facilitate that in any way, because...
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. And on the other hand, the fear is the foe. And, those who propagate fear are not of the fold of the Creator, And things are so crucial and moving so fast that the dark sheep of fear, must be sort of culled,
Sure. One of the things that, even the spiritual teachers of our past, be it Confucius, Buddha, or Jesus, the very first thing that they ask us to do as new students is to master our fear, not be driven by fear.
Exactly. It is so true. Mankind has an enormous transition, in this challenge. To become, to rise up to a different consciousness. I mean, it's in our heritage. But we've just fallen like the masses, and we've become a bunch of sheep, and, we've got to find our way back to who we truly are.
That sounds like an amazingly enlightened message, because, most of... Well, let's just call it organized religion. It's not necessarily Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever, but organized religion has a sort of internal fear-based feedback system. And if you step outside the system, you automatically garner the retribution of the priests of that particular religion. And usually, not always, but usually, that does not include off-world beings, although... A casual reading of the Old Testament will put you in touch with several right off the bat. The idea that they are divine, that they are somehow gods or angels or aliens or whatever, is certainly up to the interpretation of the observer, either the one that's actually talked about in the book, like Adam or Eve or Moses or whoever, or the latter-day reader of those scriptures. Do we fall down in worship, or do we put our hands together and say, I am in reverence of the God within you?
Basically, so.
One of the things that you also say on the July 13th message on your website, it's kind of profound. Skyships from afar are deliberately making their presence known around the globe. It is a well-orchestrated plan devised to awaken the human species to the reality of intelligent life throughout the vastness of the universe.
Absolutely.
Do you think that awakening is taking place now?
I think it is.
Yes, and it's happening all over the world, of course, but I think that's what's new about this area, and it's exciting. I mean, I've been sort of interested in in this whole subject for about 15 years. I know you know who Stephen Greer is.
Sure.
And I've supported his projects over the years. But when I found out about the, and I've been to some of the training programs that he leads in other UFO hotspots like Southern Colorado and out Mount Shasta, California and Southern California. But when I found out about these sightings just last summer, I said, well, my gosh, this is in my own backyard. So naturally, I want to be a part of this and to get more involved.
Well, my first brush with Stephen Greer, I was actually working in Tennessee. And I was working second shift as I was going to college and then continuing to work second shift at night. I came home from work and fixed myself some supper, put it up on the TV tray, and put my favorite program on, which was C-SPAN late at night. And this was in May of 2001, and there on the screen was an absolutely amazing press club briefing put on by Dr. Stephen Greer and several dozen witnesses who proceeded to testify that they had handled alien materials, that they had seen UFOs, and these were government workers. These were workers that were retired and did not want to take to the grave with them what they had seen. And each one of them, in conclusion of their statement, said, "And I'm willing to testify before Congress." And I think my dinner got cold because my jaw was off. And
yeah,
started this disclosure project. And it's been going on ever since, and I really haven't seen anything since then, although I greatly applaud the effort. And now we see the pressure. France and now Canada has now released all of their UFO files, we hope. And maybe the truth will come to light. Many people
I'd like to think so. I'm certainly, you know, we do indeed, as you know, create our own reality. It begins with our thoughts, and I'm certainly trying to put up that vision in my mind that more people will, you know, shine the spotlight onto the dark corners, and we will see the truth. You know, Steve Bassett is another one, of course, who's trying to organize that. And I was just going to, if it's okay, to share some more information from the Skyships Over Cashers website, the messages page. You know, this is sort of the, in a nutshell for me, this is the spiritual component of this whole thing.
Sure.
I mean, this is much more than just, you know, seeing these multicolored craft zoom across the sky. There is a spiritual side, and the messages that are put up on the website are received telepathically by someone who, well, she prefers to be sort of in the background and not be in the spotlight, but she has been receiving these messages for over 20 years, and she has helped many, many people. I mean, the messages don't all have to do with, you know, UFOs. It's other issues as well, and the messages that are received are sent to the common person as well as presidents, kings, and queens, and they've really had an impact. And knowing this person as I do for about 3 years, I trust the information implicitly, and I think the information coming through is of a very high resolution, so I accept the messages that are on the website to be, you know, very accurate and truthful. So that in itself, you know, guides me and helps me out.
Well, one of the things maybe most Earth explorers don't know is something about North Carolina. You have a June 29th message on your page. I think it's the very last one in the message area. It says, "As everyone in the room knows, the mountains of this region," that's around Cashiers, North Carolina, "are the most ancient on the globe." And there we go. We're now live with the studio again. Don't know what happened to our connection, but we lost it. And now it's back. So if we can get our callers back, we will resume the program where we left off. What we're talking about is the age of the planet. And the age of the planet is different between the seafloor and the mountains. And the Appalachians are among the oldest mountains in the world. And the sea life that's captured there literally came off the most ancient seafloor. As the crust broke open and filled in with molten material, thus expanding the crust larger and larger, slowing the earth, cooling it off, and allowing sea life to convert toxic CO2 and methane into oxygen, we then had a planet suitable for life, and that's what we have right now. Actually, most planets are going through that terraforming as well. Do we have our guests back on the line?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. You know, every once in a while we have glitches in online broadcasting. Makes it interesting, makes it fun.
Right.
Apologize for that.
That's okay.
What we were talking about was the age of the Appalachian Mountains, especially going down into the Pisgah Range. A lot of people don't know that this is about the most ancient mountain range on the planet. And do the mountains have some special kind of construction that makes them interesting to off-world races?
You're asking that?
Yeah, that's my question.
Well, they do. I mean, I guess I'm just learning this for myself. I mean, as it's stated on the website, and, you know, if you do a little hiking around here, you can maybe identify some of the crystalline quartz that's in these mountains. And like you said, this has served as an antenna, you know, for guiding various
craft.
Yeah, you know, space travelers from all over the place for for millions and millions of years. And apparently, you know, there has been erosion over the millennia, but there's still enough of a signal there that attracts, you know, these craft from who knows how many light years away.
Well, one thing that people know about quartz is it's crystal, and early radios were actually crystal radios. They used the resonant frequency of the crystal itself to actually form the channel on which the radio communicated. So if you have a crystal mountain, and it's energized by the electromagnetic field and the magnetism of Earth, and it's programmed with some kind of message, some kind of beacon anciently, it would serve exactly as our guests are saying. It would be almost like an interplanetary lighthouse.
Exactly. You know, and Brooks, I don't know if this, you know, I can't back this up with scientific evidence, but I've been living in this area for about 22 years, and I've talked to other people who've lived in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, and for whatever reason, they decided to move, and they might have done a little traveling around, and they came to Western North Carolina, and there was something here. There was, you know, they couldn't quite put their finger on it. It was the energy, you know, the something that was there, that not just the beauty of the mountains, but something else. And who knows? Maybe there is a human element within us. You know, maybe it's in our DNA that's also attracted to these mountains, the crystalline quartz.
Well, it's not without its spiritual qualities. Asheville
right.
is a quite amazing little city. It has a spiritual hum about it. It's almost like a New Age Mecca of the Southeast.
Exactly.
I'm just amazed by that. And of course, you have the mansion that's there, built. As a, I forget the name of it now, it just gives
me. The Biltmore Estate.
Yeah, the Biltmore Estate, right. One of the most wealthy men in the country decided to build his estate there in the North Carolina mountains. And if you have a chance, if you're ever on I-40 and you pop out of the mountains there, be sure to stop in Asheville and see the mansion. It's not just the house, it's the grounds around it. Very, very amazing layout. For a person who wanted a place to get away in style and in really higher energy, I would say.
Right. And it's not getting too much off the subject here, but there's another woman who lives in this area. She's pretty well known. She's an author, a channeler, a psychic, and a very, very good one. Her name is Paige Bryant. And a few years ago, she wrote a book entitled The Spiritual Awakening of the Great Smoky Mountains. And in that book, she describes numerous places, specific places, mountaintops and intersections and caves and so on, where there's, you know, these vortices of energy that have been here for eons. And there again, I think it's just all part of this phenomenon we're talking about. It just has this magnetic quality to it.
Well, if you...
It's attracting humans as well as space travelers.
Well, yeah, you make your way down to Pigeon Forge and then to Sevierville, and if you get a chance, Hike up to the top of Mount LeConte, 6,500 feet. It's about the tallest area in the Smokies. But, you know, you'd think you'd get wore out hiking from ground level all the way up there, but it's quite invigorating, and I really don't know why. You really don't feel tired when you hike that mountain.
Right.
So you lived there 22 years. Did you ever look up, or is this the first time you've...
I am doing so much more often these days.
And I guess you carry a digital camera with you at all times now.
I'm starting to do that, and you know, you sort of said the magic word here. If you know, to the people who are listening to this and who may tune in later, I would just like to, from the bottom of my heart, to encourage them to start looking up, and also, you know, if you have a small digital camera or camcorder, start carrying it with you, because you never really know, whether it's broad daylight or at night. If any of your listeners have friends who live in not just Western North Carolina, but North Georgia, Virginia, South Carolina, drop them an email and let them know about the website, and they too can, you know, start looking up. And there is some information on the website about if you have a sighting, how to contact us, and you know, you can either by email or by phone, you can, you know, send us a report.
I was on the way back to Vail one night, and I can't remember what the circumstances were, but I was late getting back to the studio, and one of the nice things about being online is I could just call in with a cell phone and sort of do stories from the road as I'm coming in. And I had just received a phone call from somebody in Charlotte who had seen a UFO near the Charlotte airport. And it was still in the sky. It was a large green light, and actually air traffic was rerouting around it. They really didn't know what it was, but it was a big green light. I don't know how big it was, but maybe as big as a Charlotte Motor Speedway, if you get an idea how large this thing was.
Right.
And this was live. This was going on. So here I am on the cell phone talking on the radio, and the phones just lit up when I finally made it to the studio, because this was happening right there while I was there. It was quite amazing. So what I want to encourage both of you to do, and your network there as you begin to build it and people start looking up and making things happen, is we're going to give you off the air. We'll give you a hotline that you can call. And any time you have a sighting, and we're on the air Sunday nights, but any time you have a sighting, you can call me. And we'll get the evidence on the radio website, and we'll announce it on the air as quickly as possible. Because evidently, from what you're describing to me, what's going on is a primer, a sort of conditioning of Earth people to get used to the idea that there are other occupants to this planet. And maybe they've been here a long, long time.
You said it. You hit the nail on the head.
That's,
I mean, that's exactly right.
But, you know, it's just, I have something to share. It's just, we intend our ships to be seen by many. That, however, is only one aspect of our mission over the mountaintops of the greater Kalawi Mountain ridges. For certain ones who are prepared, we have and are establishing telepathic communication. This might be considered step two of our mission. Step three is face-to-face communication. But this is a tricky business, which can only begin by the intended contactees imagining such a possibility.
Mm. And that seems like a statement that's, oh, you go, you think, well, big deal, but...
It is a big deal.
Well, yes, it is, and I think I you know, I'm 60 years old, and in some ways this is like back when I was a child and I watched Mary Martin and Peter Pan and that Tinkerbell and Do You Believe in Fairies, and you know, this is the adult version. You have to first begin to, you know, think about it, imagine it.
Imagine UFO, yeah.
Visualize it, and I'm, as much as I'm looking up physically with my eyes toward the sky, I'm also, in my own mind, sort of running, you know, you can call it a video in my mind of what that contact would be whenever it happens. It might be next month, next year.
Exactly.
But, you know, let's, what does that look
spread
like?
The word.
And I'm also trying to, I want to do this when the weather gets a little bit warmer is, you know, I know there's a handful of people in this area who would like to go out at night and just observe the nighttime sky. But when we do get together, to encourage them not just to look at the sky, but visualize that eventual meeting of these beings, if they are the progenitors of the human race, you know, what will that be like, and what would they like it to be like? And, you know, kind of go from there. And I think that will be the seed that will, you know, eventually germinate into face-to-face contact and some true, you know, diplomatic relationships with these extraterrestrial beings.
Well, you mentioned that you had been to Dr. Stephen Greer's training classes from time to time.
Right.
One of the things that he teaches in these classes is how to, you know, get together either as a group or individually, but get together your mind in a quiet place and try to visualize your location. So, and then broadcast that out. And Glynis was talking earlier about how she was pretty convinced that they pick up on your thoughts and can move relative to your thoughts. So Dr. Greer says if that's true, and he has proven many times that it is, that you can send out an invitation with a sort of, what do you call it, a map quest to your location.
Right.
And I would encourage you to try that, daylight and nighttime. I mean, don't get out there like a bunch of hooded druids in the middle of the grove of trees on the golf course, but, you know, maybe go out there during the day with some friends and have a picnic lunch and say, okay, let's see if we can manifest a friendly spot for them to land and make contact. And
right.
If that happens and you get that event, we definitely want to be first in line to...
Well, we had that in Waynesville. I was at a quantum physics biofeedback seminar, and my girlfriend said, I want to come and spend the weekend at your house. And I said to her, no, it's not about me, and it's not about coming to my house. It's about your intention, and you asking to be shown, you will be shown. And I went on for about 10 minutes, you know, told her, this is what you need to do. You need to show your intention. We walk out of the building, and blow me down if there's a ship right above us. And it
wow.
made my legs were like jelly, because it was something that I was trying to instill in her. And as I had told her about the intention of the whole nine yards, there it was when we walked out of the building. It was unbelievable. And there was four of us at Sword.
Wow. And this was daylight or nighttime?
This was nighttime. It was about 10:30, and it was like, you know, it flipped me out because, you know, I'm usually up in the mountains. I'm not away from home, you know. And it,
now,
and it was
is
like,
there a specific message that you're encouraging people to send out, or is it just, I have an open mind, and by the way, I have my camera in my pocket if you want to show up?
Ask and you shall receive, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
And I think if people want to know, and with the intention... they will be shown. But if you don't have that intention to follow through, you know, you won't be.
Interesting.
One of the, going back to Stephen Greer just for a moment, I've again been to three of the programs that he leads in Southern Colorado over the years, and in a nutshell, I mean, his approach has been very effective. There's no doubting that. And as a group, what people do is they kind of go into this deep meditative state and then try to follow a procedure that he refers to as coherent thought sequencing, where everybody sort of simultaneously maybe visualizes the Milky Way galaxy. They come into the, you know, this part of the galaxy, the solar system, planet Earth, the North American continent. You know, this is all done in a matter of seconds, and then you try to, that acts as a signal to hopefully bring in some sort of craft. And this has been effective, but I will say this, and I admire Stephen Greer tremendously, but one of the messages that came through this person that I've referred to before was directed to me, and the gist of it was that they knew, of course, I mean, this is spirit, this is God. They knew that I had attended these seminars or workshops with Stephen Greer, but they wanted me to know that it's really the ships that know my heart's desire, and all I need to do is just respond according to my internal nudges. I don't necessarily have to follow the protocols that Stephen Greer and others have utilized. I don't want to diminish their effect, but that's just what I feel like. I feel like this is a much, in other words, this is a much simpler method. Just go out and make your intent known mentally, telepathically, and see what happens. And the more people that do it, I think the greater the probabilities are that something will appear. Still there?
Hello?
Hello.
What are you going on?
Whoops. Shucks.
Well, what if we'll have to hang up again?
Okay, I'm hanging up.
Hello?
Hey, Bennett, get on the phone. Let's finish the story.
Hey, hello?
Keep on talking. They're having a problem, but keep
yes,
on talking.
No.
Anyway, I'm looking out at the sky.
Okay.
And,
I apologize for all this, ladies and gentlemen. To be quite honest, this is going on because I believe Brooks is losing his Skype connection, and his internet connection might not be as strong in order to carry the signal, and we are on Skype today. We may have to rearrange it a bit and put him on a phone line or whatever we need to do to keep this show on the air. But until then, you're all alone talking with our audience. I'm sure they just love listening. So we're going to let you float and dance while Brooks is away. And I'm sure you can hold your own. What do you think? Shall we do it?
Yeah, we can do it.
Let's do it. All right. You've been on the air still, by the way. This is all live.
Okay.
Everything's live at PBS Radio. Pardon me?
I wonder if what I was just saying maybe 2 minutes ago was actually heard, or...
You know, it never hurts to repeat things.
Right. Well, I'll repeat this. I think it's worth saying. I was just talking briefly about my experience a few years back with...
Scottish, we're cashiers.
Stephen Greer and the CSETI.
Keep going. We're listening.
Okay. With the CSETI, CSETI training programs, and Dr. Greer has developed a protocol that he teaches and people can follow in their own backyard, so to speak, small groups or large groups, and it's not complicated, but yet it does take some time and effort, and it helps if you're a real good meditator and can go into a deep meditative state and then try to connect with, you know, the universal mind or non-local mind and begin to have some sort of a contact with these craft and telepathically or... Anyway, there's a procedure that people follow. And admittedly, I mean, it's had a lot of success, but yet the information that I've been receiving through the person who has received messages that appear on the Skyship's website have indicated to me that the protocols are really not necessary. The rituals that are followed are really not that necessary. What's important, what's very important, is just responding to my internal intuition and nudges and making my, you know, heart's desire known. And if it's right, it's right. If it's significant enough, then the ships will appear. And in other words, just keep it simple and keep it pure, and that's the main thing.
Well, that's true. And, you know, we're talking about peace, and we're talking about maybe a higher awareness. And it's possible, I think, that we can walk away from Armageddon. We don't have to march toward this inevitable nuclear holocaust that we've been manifesting for ourselves ever since the New Testament was put into print. There are other beings involved here. And maybe they live here, and this is their home too, and there's no sense turning it into a nuclear wasteland. Is that the feeling that you get?
Yes. I mean, I think they're here to, I think Glenn has said this earlier, to help us and make sure we don't blow ourselves to bits, and they have helped in over many, many eons to seed this planet, and some of them are you know, we're related, and so I think for some of us anyway, I feel an even stronger motivation to want to make that connection and that contact, and you know, to see some old friends, and it's very important.
I think another aspect of all of this, too, is actually to actually give more significance to the creator of the universe as opposed to his son. And that's probably...
Well, maybe not as opposed to his son. Maybe his son was trying to explain this to us all along. You know,
well,
he didn't come here. He didn't come here to set up a church. He came here to tell us that we have the ability to do what he did and more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But most people actually give the glory to Jesus as opposed to the Creator.
Ah, I understand. Well, I guess if it drops down to who is the Creator, I guess that person in the mirror is a good place to start.
Well, surely. That's very much in fact.
Well, I say let's get about it then. And maybe we need a little bit of help from our friends. And maybe some of those friends have lived here on this world a long time before we got here.
That's right. And if we keep looking up, you know, I think we'll get a better perspective on the whole image.
You know, when I was a little kid, I used to love to climb trees, and one of my favorite things to do is when people would walk under the tree, I would yell at them. They never looked up. They always looked around on the ground. It wasn't until about the third or fourth time that they actually would look up in the tree. It's just not natural for people to do. We don't expect contact to be made from above.
Right.
Unless we have the foresight of looking up.
It's so simple, really. You know, you read this in print that we are living in the intuitive age, and yet there's so many people who are still sort of shut down and in the box, and so to speak, and we need to, you know, open a door or something and listen to the inner voice and follow that, when fear creeps in, just say, you know, push it aside and follow the positive things.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the whole idea, is to grow beyond fear, and you know, humans are capable of amazing levels of love, and those feelings, that energy, can literally change the universe.
And most of our construction is created from our own mind. You know, what we've inherited from our parents, 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 is we've made up of that instead of who we truly are.
Ah, the paradigms. So hard to walk away from, aren't they?
Exactly. And then it goes beyond that, and it creates disease of the form which we're living in. And it's a vicious circle.
One of the things I used to love to enjoy doing, living in North Carolina, is Sunday morning when you walk out of church in the morning, you look out over the rolling hills and the green, green trees and the blue sky and hear the birds and you go, man, what a gorgeous planet. This is really a neat planet.
Most definitely.
Well, it has been my pleasure to have you, Glynis, and you, Harry, on the program tonight, skyshipsovercashiers.com. If you happen to see something in the southeast, make sure to go to that website, put it in their database, and let's see if we can't get this thing growing. And I'll go ahead and I'll access the contact us point at the website there, and I'll give you a contact number. If you have a sighting or anything that comes up, you can call me anytime, and we'll get the evidence out at xsquaredradio.com as quickly as possible. We also have a newsletter database of about 11,000 regular newsletter receivers, and BBS Radio gets about 20 million hits a week. So we have a pretty good size offline, or should I say non-live listener, that comes through and cruises what's going on here. So let us know about your progress and any sightings that you might have, and I encourage you to continue to grow contact as much as you can.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
For your encouraging words, and I hope we, I intend that we use your hotline number in quite a bit here in the coming months.
Very good. Appreciate you both coming on the program.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you very much, Brooke.
Thank
good
you
night.
And good night.
Good night.
Bye. So there you have it, Earth Explorers. Very interesting program, February 22nd, 2009. Ariel Ford, her book, The Soulmate Secret, that is Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, was our first hour. And Harry and Glynis coming to us from skyshipsovercashiers.com, letting us know what's going on in the skies over the Pisgah Mountains. This is X Squared Radio, and we will play our exit now. We'll see you next week here, xsquaredradio.com. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day, and before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio, saying, Peace, Earth Explorers.